Aren't you glad that Joni was able to keep them in tune? I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter 4. Steve, I wonder if we could have that upper light off, please. Thank you. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 9. Thank you. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause grief or pain. This is the very word of God. Jabez. The first time I have spoken on the subject of Jabez, in fact, I don't remember of ever hearing anyone speak on this subject. There's only two verses concerning Jabez, but they speak volumes. Brief, but meaningful. I would suggest that Jabez is like an oasis in the desert. You know, God has always had his remnant, his special, faithful people. And I would certainly suggest that Jabez is one of the remnant. He was willing to stand up and be counted for God. And I wonder if that's true of us. Are we willing to stand up and be counted for God? Jabez was a man of God during the spiritual dearth of the nation of Israel. It was a very bad time spiritually for the nation of Israel. But here we have a man of God who took a stand. You know, we have a number of such characters in the Word of God. During spiritual dearth, they were outstanding believers and followers of God. I think of Ruth, that Moabite woman, an outsider. When the nation of Israel was in spiritual trouble, Ruth was converted and stood for God. What a beautiful woman. Esther is another character that falls into that classification. Daniel, Nehemiah, the apostles, the martyrs, on and on. We find faithful men and women of God that stood in times of spiritual dearth. In this passage, only two verses, I would suggest that we have a model prayer. It's not a prayer to memorize and to recite, But it's a prayer that is a model prayer in that all of the important parts of a prayer are found in this model prayer. You see, prayer and your prayer life reveals your character and your spiritual status. Let me run that past again. A Christian's prayer life reveals his character and his spiritual status. How is your prayer life? I'm not talking about the prayer meeting in the assembly, how often you pray and how long your prayers are. That's not what I mean. I'm speaking about your private prayer life. You see, God is not looking or listening for eloquence. He is looking for sincerity in the heart. And this is what we see in the life of Jabez, and we can pick it up only in the two verses that refer to Jabez. Not eloquence. God's not interested in eloquence. Don't hold back on your prayer because you don't think you're eloquent enough, because God couldn't care less in eloquence. But he's looking for sincerity. Have you ever listened to the prayer of a new convert? They haven't had a lot of experience. They struggle with the King James language. But it makes tears come to your eyes because you know it is coming from their heart. We want to consider three points in relation to our subject. We want to look at Jabez, the man, his character. We want to look at Jabez, his prayer. And then number three, we want to look at Jabez, the answers to his prayer. Number one, Jabez, the man. The name Jabez means sorrow. Notice he was named by his mother. Verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, and then gives us the reason she called him Jabez. Because I bore him in sorrow. Apparently she had a very painful childbirth with Jabez. She called him sorrow. That's what it means. Jabez. This is, of course, birth pangs that us men know nothing about. You mothers are well acquainted with it. A very severe experience. But it's the sentence that has been brought on to the human race, and specifically upon the mothers, because of the fall into sin. But let me give a little happy note here. The joy of a newborn babe helps the mother to forget the pain. You want a scripture for that? I'll give it to you. It's John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 21. The joy of the newborn babe helps the mother to forget the pain. The pain that the Lord Jesus experienced at Calvary is referred to with this intenseness. It says concerning the Lord Jesus, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What does that mean? That means in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to see the redeemed gathered together, and they are the result of the birth pangs of the pain that he experienced at Calvary. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now this is God's evaluation. It's not his brethren's evaluation. It's not the world's evaluation. You take any child of God that stands for the truth, he's not going to be honorable as far as the world is concerned. But God's estimation, he was more honorable than his brethren. Not famous in the world, but God saw in him a committed warrior, prayer warrior. Jabez was a man of faith. Faith is an essential ingredient to prayer. Don't try to pray if you can't back it up with faith. Every prayer that you pray, it has to be backed up by faith. And Jabez was a man of faith. Remember when the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They recognized their need of prayer. They knew that the Lord Jesus spent nights in the mountain in prayer. And apparently they were convicted by the fact that their prayer life was not what it should be, and they prayed, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us how to pray. We don't have to learn how to pray. A newborn babe in Christ knows how to pray. But the mature Christian needs to learn to pray. Then the disciples came to the Lord and they said, increase our faith. They recognized the need of faith for prayer. The Lord, Jabez was humble. You can tell by the tone of his prayer, it indicated humility. Humility is the hallmark of a prayer warrior. You check out all of the prayer warriors in the Word of God, and you will find humility along with their name. Our second point is to consider his prayer, Jabez's prayer. Prayer is the characteristic of many Bible characters. Agur. What do we know about Agur in Proverbs chapter 30? He prayed, give me neither poverty nor riches. He knew the danger of poverty. He knew the danger of riches. Both of them are dangerous to the believer. Poverty tempted to curse God. I'm not getting enough in this life. I'd like to have a new sports wagon, and I haven't got it. There's the danger of cursing God. Riches, there's a temptation to forget God. We see it both in Christendom today. Abraham is another example of a man of prayer. How he interceded for his nephew Lot. How he interceded for Sodom. Solomon's prayer in the dedication of the temple. What a beautiful prayer. Daniel. Nehemiah. Their prayers for their nation. Their nation was in trouble and they prayed for the nation of Israel. But the perfect model of prayer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Study the gospel records and see the many times that the Lord Jesus departed into a solitary place, spent all night in prayer. While he was here upon the earth, he was a model prayer warrior. But what about today? What's he doing today? He's our great high priest. He's seated at God's right hand. And what is he doing? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. Jabez prayed to a covenant God, the God of Israel, a great God. He appealed for blessing. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He had a desire for spiritual blessing. No indication that he wanted to get rich. He had a desire for spiritual blessings, not material blessings. Why did he want to be blessed? Why would we want to be blessed? So we can be a blessing to others. You can't be a blessing to others until you personally are blessed by God. He longed for prosperity. He says, enlarge my coasts or my borders. He felt fenced in. He wanted to expand. This is not the prosperity gospel. You know, name it and claim it. There are people that preach such a gospel. All you have to do is name the blessing that you want and you can claim it as yours. There's no such teaching in the Word of God. Paul desired this prosperity. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. That's what prosperity is all about. A prayer in God's will and for God's honor. Jabez prayed for power, that thy hand might be with me. That's a suggestion of power. He desired power. He knew he was weak. He knew that he needed the power of God, that thy hand may be with me. Isn't it a wonderful truth as Christians? He holds my hand. We are in his hand and can never be lost. He gives unto us eternal life. because we're in His hand. You see, we're in His hand because He is leading the way. We don't know the way. I've never traveled this way before. I need to be in His hand. I need Him to hold my hand. Power. And you know, beloved, you and I as believers can claim the infinite power of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the infinite power of God is available to every believer? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit of God, who is omnipotent, indwells you, and that He is available to provide the power that you need in your Christian life? This power is available only to committed believers. Backslidden Christians can't claim such power. Christians who are mediocre in their spiritual life, they cannot claim the power of God. But then he prayed for purity. Keep me from evil. That was an important part of Jabez's prayer. Keep me from evil. Confession is wonderful, isn't it? If we have sin, we can confess it. We have the promise of God that our sins are forgiven. That's wonderful. But you know, there is something even better than confessing your sin, confessing your evil. You know what it is? Avoiding it. That's what Jabez wanted. Keep me from evil. He wasn't confessing evil. He was asking the Lord to keep him from evil. That relates to the subject of sanctification, doesn't it? We not only are saved by the grace of God, past tense, we are being saved every day of our life, future tense, we are going to be saved, delivered out of this world, that's salvation. But sanctification, that's a present experience. But it's a process. It's a process that should commence in our lifetime, and it's going to be concluded, completed perfectly in glory. Don't wait till you get to glory to be sanctified. Don't wait to get to glory to be a saint. You are a saint now because you're a believer, and you should behave like one. Do you believe that? That's what we see in Jabez's prayer. Because you see, purity is a prerequisite to prayer. Don't try to pray when there is unconfessed sin. Do you believe that? You see, evil days will come. But provision has been made that we do not have to be overwhelmed or defeated by evil. I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the subject of prayer. This is a personal confession, public confession. I would say that my greatest need in my Christian life is to pray. My greatest need. I know you're disappointed in me, but it's true. I'm not the prayer warrior that Jabez was. I find it very easy to spend time in my Bible preparing notes and messages for my message on Sunday. I find that quite easy, enjoyable. But to really be serious and spend time in prayer, and I'm not talking about giving thanks at the meal or saying a prayer before I go to sleep at night. I mean closet prayer. When you and the Lord are together alone, you spend time in prayer. Martin Luther made the statement, "I've got so much work to do today, I can't get along with less than 3 hours of prayer. That embarrasses me. I just don't know what it is to spend 3 hours in prayer." Most Christians acknowledge the importance of prayer, but neglect it. Do you think that's a true statement? I'm speaking for myself. Prayer was important to the heroes of faith in the Word of God. Daniel and Abraham and Moses, they were heroes of faith. And prayer was an important part of their spiritual life. And certainly, prayer was important to the Lord Jesus. If it was necessary for Him, where does that leave me? He felt the need of prayer. He practiced prayer. He taught the subject of prayer. It was essential to him. Long, repetitious prayers displease God. You see, we're not talking about long, public, repetitious prayers. That's displeasing to God. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They would find people watching them, and they would spend long periods of time in prayer. And the Lord rebuked them for it. That's what the heathen do too. That's not what God is interested in. God doesn't listen for eloquence. He looks in the heart for sincerity. I like to think of Nehemiah's prayer life. Remember when Nehemiah sent up a skygram. You remember the heathen king saw Nehemiah, and he saw that his countenance was sad, and that's dangerous for a servant in the palace. For the countenance to be sad. And the king comes to Nehemiah and he says, "What's the trouble, Nehemiah? Your countenance is sad." You remember how Nehemiah answered that? As soon as the king said that, Nehemiah, "So I prayed." And then he answered the king. That must have been a very short prayer, wasn't it? He couldn't spend a half hour in that prayer. He prayed to God, and then he was able to give a satisfactory answer to the king. Then I think of that beautiful prayer that Peter prayed, walking on the Sea of Galilee. He was doing great as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus. But as soon as he got his eyes off from the Lord and onto the waves and the storm, he started to sink. And you remember his prayer? Lord, save me. Beautiful prayer. The Lord heard it. The Lord answered it. And if that would have been a long 15-minute prayer, by the time he'd have gotten to his amen, he would have been gurgling water. How about the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross? Remember his prayer? Father, forgive them. That was his prayer. Think of the importance of that prayer. Think of the involvement of that prayer. Who was he referring to? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was thinking of us. He was thinking of everyone that was ever born into this world. Father, forgive them. Now that doesn't mean when the Lord Jesus prayed that prayer that day that everyone present is going to be in heaven. That's not what it means. The unrepentant thief has heard the prayer, but he's not going to be in heaven. And there were many others, no doubt, that heard that prayer, and they're not going to be in heaven. What did the Lord Jesus mean? Father, forgive. He meant that forgiveness is available to every one of these people. Even the unrepentant thief could have had forgiveness. If he would have done like his fellow thief did, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Forgiveness is available for everyone, but it's appropriated only by believers. Number three, the answered prayer. As we mentioned, his prayer was short, but his petition was large. What a tremendous petition it was. It was offered to the great God of Israel. You see, the magnitude of our requests doesn't threaten God. It pleases him. The greater your requests, the more God is pleased, because you see, he is almighty, and he wants you to trust him. Something I observe in Jabez's prayer, he prayed to God, but he didn't suggest to God how and when he wanted the answer. And I think this is an important point for us to learn. He didn't suggest to God when and how the prayer should be answered. You know, I can say this from personal experience. One of the biggest temptations to a missionary is to dream up a big project. I tell you, I know all about it. To dream up a big project. And then, what do you do from there? You send out solicitation letters to your naive friends. Let's face it. I know the temptation. There were a number of projects that I had in my mind. But I came to the conclusion, if the Lord wants me to pursue this project, he's going to provide the funds. I think you know the name George Mueller. someday I probably am going to share the testimony of George Mueller, a great man of prayer, a great man of faith. What we're talking about here in Jabez's life. George Mueller. I think he is an example of trusting God and praying to God for need. I don't know how many 3,000 orphans that he had in his orphanage. He never solicited funds from anyone. Because he had a God that knew all about it. He prayed to God. And some of the interesting stories about George Mueller, if you can get his biography, read it. It'll thrill your heart. It's the very thing that Jabez is talking about, to be able to trust God and not tell God how he's going to answer the prayer. We notice in Jabez's prayer, his request was in the will of God for the glory of God. I think we should underscore that. When our prayer is in the will of God and for the glory of God, we've come a long way in our prayer life. Isaiah tells us, before they call, I will answer. Isn't that beautiful? That God answers our prayers even before we think about them, even before we pray about them. Before they call, I will answer. While they speak, I will hear. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. That was Jabez's prayer. That I may be a blessing to others. He was more honorable than his brethren, but this is God's estimation of Jabez, not his brethren. I'm sure if you'd ask his brethren, they wouldn't have been too impressed with him. Jabez had a very melancholy start in life, didn't he? Named sorrow. Kind of melancholy, isn't it? But he ends in victory, doesn't he? He was spiritually in tune because he was spiritually intelligent, he was spiritually thoughtful, and he was spiritually conscientious. That is Jabez. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for giving us these examples in the Word of God. We are embarrassed when we examine our own hearts. We consider our own prayer life. We would say to the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to have faith in the great covenant God of the universe. We pray in his worthy name. Amen.